before us in your word this morning. And Father, I confess to you my inadequacy to even touch on what is possibly the epicenter of theme as we looked and studied these last few weeks regarding the gospel. But if the gospel would be reduced down to a nucleus, a point, what would that be? And Lord, we pray this morning that you would take your very word that you spoke 2,000 years ago, and here we are today, 2,000 years later, speaking the same words at a time like this. We pray, God, that you would be the one who delivers the message to all of our hearts this morning, that we would all be receiving from you this morning. And Father, I pray with affection that if there's someone here today that's not a Christian, that they would be absolutely, Lord, provoked by you, troubled by you, stirred up by you. And Lord, for us who are Christians, that we would make sure that's true. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to John chapter 3. John 3, you don't need to go outside of that area. We'll spend our time here today in John chapter 3 in a message entitled, All About Being Born Again. All About Being Born Again. And this, if you're visiting here, is part of a series you need to know. We started this series some time ago. We paused our verse-by-verse teaching through the Bible. And we decided that because of the time and the age in which we live in, it would be good for me as your pastor teacher to make sure you knew the essentials of biblical doctrine. Doctrine meaning teaching. That I didn't want to take the time to go through another teaching and have you somehow miss the key elements that actually define Christianity. How do you know you're a Christian? What is it that you have to believe to be a Christian? And so today, we look at being born again, and we'll touch on it today, and we'll spend the next several weeks looking at this because, quite frankly, it's too deep, it's too important, it's too critical. And so this morning, we're looking at the third chapter of John, and we'll touch on several verses of it. But in our theme verse today, John 3, verses 6 and 7, there Jesus speaks, and in verse 6 it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You ought to circle the word flesh right there, please, if you would, in your Bible. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You ought to circle the word spirit. Verse 7, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must. It's not a suggestion. He's not offering it up as an option. Jesus said, you must be born again. And I know some of you have come from religious backgrounds. You've never even heard that term before. You've gone in and out of a church and you've never heard these words. Jesus himself said, you must be born again. And if that wasn't enough, coming from the words of Christ himself, take note who he's speaking it to. Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the ruler of Israel, the man who was paid and groomed throughout his entire life to know the Bible. A wealthy man, influential man. A man who spoke for the nation, spoke for God to the people, Nicodemus. And Jesus turns to him and says, you're going to miss heaven, Nick, unless you're born again. You've got to be born again, is Jesus' words. Why? Because man is in need of salvation. We looked for 3 weeks at the gospel, the need of the gospel, the giving of the gospel. That the gospel from Genesis to Revelation is God's message to man. But if you had to point to the nucleus of the gospel, what would it be? Jesus would shout again this morning, you must be born again. And that's an amazing thing because with passion and with zeal, Jesus gave that mandate to Nicodemus, and I believe the Holy Spirit, well, I know he does, gives it to all of us. You must be born again. And you might say, what does it mean to be born again? And that's what we're going to be looking at. What does it mean? And what are we talking about? Well, first of all, to be born again is the doctrine of regeneration. You ought to write that down. It's an important word. Regeneration. You say, well, what does that mean? It means to be born again. To be born again is to be regenerated. You say, well, what do those words mean? It means to be, listen, It means to be born from above. It means to be changed. It means to be reborn, renew. It means to be converted. We use the words in Christianese. You know, we talk Christianese to each other. We use words like this. Hey, bro, are you saved? Only a Christian knows what you're talking about. You walk up to a non-believer and say, are you saved? And he's thinking, what? Christians have their own language. If you're saved, you're born again. If you're not born again, you're not saved. You can be religious until the cows come home. You're not born again. You're not going to heaven. That's what Jesus said. So don't you think that the letters in your Bible, written in red and spoken to a man of great outward righteousness, don't you think that it is screaming at us to know what it means? If it's so critically important, and you bet it is absolutely important to us. So our first and one and only point for today is this. You need to know in your Bible doctrine all about being born again. Number one is this. What does it mean to be born again? And it means this. The word born here in the Greek original language of the Greek Bible means to be brought forth or to be begotten. You've heard the Bible say that Jesus is the begotten of God. Well, listen, every true believer, every true Christian has been begotten, we'll see in a moment, from or by the Holy Spirit. The word born is to be begotten or brought forth. It's the Spirit of God that brings a man or a woman out of darkness into a new life, out of being en route to hell and bound for heaven. He takes them out of their self-centered life and gives them a life of Christ-centered purposeness. You're born again, born. The word again here means from above. Simply that, to be brought forth from above. The word born again is to be brought forth from above. Born again. So the first thing that we see right here is what does it mean to be born again? Is that you and I need the new life from above. We need this new life. In fact, listen, without it, there is no salvation for us. It's very, very clear. And note here what Jesus is saying. He's announcing in chapter 3, verse 3, that our earthly life is completely opposed to, inadequate for, or incapable of getting you and I to heaven. Church, listen. He says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus, this is shocking because you've got to put yourself into the scene for a moment. Nicodemus is the man. Listen, honestly, it's easy for me to say this because it's so blatantly true. His righteousness, Nicodemus's outward righteousness, puts me, all of us, to shame. The man tithed like you can't believe. He was a Pharisee. He gave more to God than you and I will probably ever give. He tithed not only his money, but he tithed, for example, if he got a thimble of salt, did you know that he would tithe a portion of that salt to God? Do you do that? I don't do that. When you get your hot crushed peppers for your pizza, do you tithe part of that to God? I don't. He did. He was so committed. He tithed the tenth of all that he had. And he knew the word of God inside and out. He just studied it. No Xbox for him. No ESPN. The guy was devoted to God. He was the priest. He wore the garbs. Everybody knew, and he had the power, and he could influence the nation because the nation looked to him because he had God's ear. And Jesus said to him, unless you're born again, you're lost. Jesus is saying you are lost unless you're born again. What a shock. Can you imagine being him? Well, we can't because he was groomed for that all of his life. And then here is this one, this almost sage, this rabbi, teacher of the word, yes, but he's the son of a carpenter. He's a carpenter himself. And yes, the mystique of his life, even his conception and where he was born, that the rumor had been all about Jesus all his life growing up. And Nicodemus, something's going on in this man's life because Nicodemus comes to him at night and we'll see in a moment, ask him a question and Jesus just peels the onion right back. Why? Because, my friend, your soul is that important to God, so much so that he'll just shoot straight right between the eyes to get you to think, because God will not allow you to assume you're going to heaven. God is not into assumptions. The Bible says in 1 John, these things have been written that you might, good job, know you have eternal life. You're to know it. And Jesus is confronting the lineage, the heritage, the legacy of Nicodemus and his upbringing. And it had to be a shocking moment. Let's look at it more in context. John 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, now listen, any man would love to hear what Jesus is about to hear from a man of this stature. Rabbi, that means Bible teacher. We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs, miracles that you do, unless God is with him. If that was said to you and I, we'd go, well, thank you very much. It's nice of you to notice. Oh my goodness. Would you like to have some tea? Do you think Jesus responds like that? Jesus goes for the throat. With all love, he goes for the throat. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, how do we translate that, most assuredly? Hey! Most assuredly. Yo! Dude! How would we stress that today? I'm talking to you! Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born, watch this, mark it down. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That ain't going to help you one bit. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's talking about two absolutely separate births. One is of the earth, one is not. One is of water in this world, the other one is not. The other one is of the Spirit from another world. Verse 7, do not marvel that I said to you. Pause right there at that comma. Can you imagine the look on Nicodemus' face at that moment? Jesus, it must have been so amazing. Jesus said, don't marvel at this. Don't be wide-eyed and open-mouthed. I wonder if Jesus would have reached over and put his lower jaw back up to his upper jaw and got his attention and said to him, don't marvel at this. He says to him, you must be born again. You must be born from above to be a citizen of heaven. You must be born again, born from above, to be a child of God. We need a new life, my friend, from above. The life that you and I have, born of water, born into this world. We all came through our mamas into this world. We were born once. You're here right now. You were born once. You were given life. You're living life right now. You're living the life that you're living, I should say, right now. It may not be a life of life, but you're living a life. But no matter who we are, if Nicodemus walked in here today, the word would still be true. Isn't this awesome about your Bible, the eternal word of God? The truth 2,000 years ago is the truth today. You must be born again. Jack, you need to be born again, Jesus would say. He would say to you, you know, Karen or Mike, you need to be born again. And what would we do? Would we say, how can these things be? What would we stumble over with that challenge from God? What would trip us up? I'll have you know, I've been a registered voter all my life. I'm a moral person. I've been a member of the church all my life. I've gone to Calvary Chapel. Jesus would say, you must be born again. But my father was a preacher and my grandfather was a preacher. Jesus would say, you need to be born again. But I gave money to the church. Jesus would say, you need to be born again. You'll never see the kingdom of heaven. What's beautiful about this, from one end of the sanctuary to the other, that brings all of us on the same level playing field before the cross of Christ. Think of it for a moment. Have you had a lustful thought in your mind? Did you advance that lustful thought? Are you proud? Do you see yourself better than other people? Do you have a temper problem? an ego problem, whatever it might be. It's all sin. Is it a sexual problem? Is it a material problem? It's all sin. Jesus says to humanity, you must be born again. You must have a birth from above. You've already been born from this earth through the coming of the life through your mother and of this world. You live in the flesh. You were born in the flesh. I get that. I understand that. But to get to heaven, you need to be born from above. That's by the Spirit of God. And so in just a few short verses, from verse 3 to verse 7, twice Jesus says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he says again, you must be born again. The next thing we make note of is that you and I are to receive that life from God. It must come from God. That excludes all personal efforts on our own. Now listen carefully, everybody. This excludes personal merit, personal effort. Jesus said you must be born from above. Can I ask you a question? I sure hope you answered this right. What involvement did you have in your conception and development and delivery? None. You, so to speak, went with the flow. You didn't get out and jump up on the table and say, whoa, that was tough, but I made it. No, you didn't. You were born into this world by the efforts of others. And Jesus is saying, you'll be born into the world to come, the world from above, by the effort of not others exactly, but the effort of one. Christ will go to the cross. He'll die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says he'll be resurrected from the dead. Jesus will. That's what he was saying. I'm going to provide the way of a new life for you. You must be born again. It's an awesome statement, but you have to receive that. Now, I need to say, share this because you and I have been brought up in the West predominantly. I know we have some friends from Egypt and other parts of the world. I understand that. You'll get this better than most of us. But when we receive, we're to receive Christ, we're to receive God. You say, now, wait a minute. What does that mean? Listen, how many of you accepted Christ? Like, for example, I went forward. Greg Laurie gave the gospel on June 20th. It's a Monday night, 1877 or 1977. And I went forward that night. It was a little bit before 9 o'clock in the evening on a Monday night. I'll never forget it. I went forward that night. I raised my hand and then I got up and I went forward. How many of you accepted Christ and you went forward at a church? Something like that, raise your hand. How many of you went forward at a crusade? Raise your hands. Like Billy Graham Crusade or Harvest Crusade? Wow, by far most of you from a church outreach or something like that, or a service. Great, listen. Western mindset, that's how we function. And that's not bad, but watch this. Listen to this. If you get up, Lisa and I have met a lot of people like this, and when you go evangelizing on the streets, you're sharing with people, you'll meet a lot of people like this who'll say, you'll share Christ with them, and they'll say, it's okay, you don't have to share Christ with me. I went forward at the crusade. That immediately is the wrong answer. And anyone who's born again knows that's the wrong answer. I don't have to beat that into you. You know it's true. You would never say, oh, it's okay. I'm saved. I was baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. The Bible says it doesn't save you. So going forward at the crusade doesn't save you. Being baptized doesn't save you. Someone might say, you don't have to talk to me. I was circumcised. I'm automatically going to heaven. That doesn't save you. Read the book of Romans. Read the book of Galatians. It doesn't save you. Somebody might say, it's okay, I'm saved. And they fill in the blank. Are you with me? Doesn't save you. You could say to me today, Pastor, I prayed the sinner's prayer. That doesn't save you. You can come forward. You can pray the prayer. But unless there is, as Charles Spurgeon put it, divine intercourse between you and God, and there's a transformation on the inside taking place that justifies the outward external actions, you're only religious. You understand that? You're not born again. And this is a critical thing. You say, Pastor, you keep talking like this, I'm not coming back. Listen, I would rather say this to you, and by the way, let me remind you, if you're having a battle with this, it's not between you and I. I'm giving you God's word. If you're having a battle with this right now, I would suggest that's the Holy Spirit that's getting a hold of you today. Because you might have walked in here today saying, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay with God. And you keep telling yourself that. I'm okay with God. Maybe you're not. I don't know. But have you received that new life from God that comes from above? The Bible tells us that we are to receive Christ. It's not going through those motions I mentioned a moment ago. It is an actual, true, factual reception of Christ, which means this. Jesus, I need you as my Lord and Savior. I agree with your word. I'm a sinner, and you are my Savior, and I surrender today. I come to you. I can't save myself. I can't reform myself. I can't better myself. I come with all of what I am and the failures and the... I come with all my sin. I come. And you receive him. Jesus goes on to say something extremely strange until he begins to unpack it for us. John 3, verse 8, at the front end of that verse, follow along with me. The Bible says there, the wind blows. Jesus says, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. You ever think of that? The wind blows. He's talking about Nicodemus. Listen, Nick, you've known everything through a liturgical process all the days of your life. And what I'm talking about, Nicodemus, is not some program. You know, a lot of people join a church and they get inserted into the program. And listen carefully, everybody. For your life, you may have been part of the program, but have never been saved. Jesus tells Nicodemus, it's like this, the wind blows, right? And you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. That's how the Spirit moves. I don't know about you, but my eyes are very sensitive to wind. And when the Santa Ana winds blow, I'd rather stay indoors. I mean, I got to wear glasses, if not goggles. One thing for sure, you open your eyes and you can tell which way the wind's coming from, right? And you see which way it's going. But can you grab it? Can you grab the wind? You know from proximity that it must be coming north and it's blowing west. The way it comes down through our crazy valley here, comes down over the desert out of the north and makes a sharp turn and heads out to the sea. And you can figure that out because what? You look at the trees blowing. What's the evidence? The wind blows and it affects the trees. You can't see the wind blowing. You cannot see the wind. You only see the leaves blowing as a result of the wind. You got that? We take that for granted. Jesus says that's how it is with the life of the Spirit. What is? It's invisible by nature. But outwardly, the effect of the wind is seen by all people. Everyone sees the effects of the wind. Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, that's exactly what I'm talking about. The Spirit of God lays hold of someone's life. You can't figure it out. But I tell you what, you can sure see the effects of it. Jesus announces to us that a born-again life is a life that is received from above, and it is a changed life. It is a life that is passionately devoted to mirroring the image of Christ the best you can. And when you fail, the Holy Spirit takes over. But that's only after you've been born again. You live for God. You want to know more about God. But understand this. There's a dramatic change that takes place in a person. There's no doubt about it because in verses 8 and 9, he says, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is the Christian life. And Nicodemus, verse 9, answers and says to him, how can these things be? You got to love this guy. I mean, at least, you know, I know he came to Jesus by night. You know why, don't you? He's a Pharisee. Jesus is the archenemy now of the Pharisees. They're so jealous, they want to kill him. They're so envious of him. They want to do Jesus in. Thank God for Nicodemus. We never would have known John chapter 3 without him. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. If he would have been caught talking to Jesus, he could have been excommunicated from Judaism. That could have cost him his physical life, you know. He's a man of great influence and power. He comes to Jesus by night. And he begins to flatter Jesus. I read it to you a moment ago. We know that you've come from God because nobody can do the miracles that you can do. And Jesus just goes, unless you're born again, you're not going to make it. He's back on his heels. Can you imagine? Trying to catch his breath. He just got whacked. And then he says these precious words. How can these things be? Have you ever come? Listen, judge yourself now. Judge yourself. Have you ever had that moment in your life where you would say, I encountered this with God? Yes, my way. Not just like Nicodemus, but my way. By the way, don't judge your conversion next to the person sitting next to you. It's all different. We all land at the same place, but it doesn't start the same place. And he grabs hold of your life. And it begins with this. How can these things be? I wish we could see Nicodemus' face. This is a serious moment. How did he sound? I think it's pretty safe to assume he didn't say, how can that be? No, I think Nicodemus, speaking to God in skin, can you imagine? And the Holy Spirit is backing up every word Jesus is speaking. He is nailed to the wall. And he says, how can these things be? How come nobody told me this? Are you a religious person today or even claiming to know Jesus Christ, but you've never heard the term born again? You have to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. See, I don't know if I can believe in God. I've never seen God. How do I get born again when it's like the wind? Well, I just said a moment ago, you can see the effects of the wind. Not everything that you enjoy is visible. You're breathing air right now. You're enjoying that. You can't see it. I heard this in a funeral this week, and then I went online and I found it at Dr. Zimmerman. He's some doctor. I don't know who he is, but I tracked this down. It's on his website. I'm going to ask you to listen to this. Is there life after delivery? It's about two unborn twins having a conversation inside their mother's womb. Are you guys all with me? What are you so quiet for? You guys all here? Okay, listen carefully. I don't know about you, this gets kind of fun, especially if you're an atheist. Listen up. One of the twins inside the womb says, tell me, do you believe in life after birth? He asks. The other one responds, yes, definitely. In here, we are growing and we're gaining strength for whatever faces us on the other side. He responds. The other one says, that is utterly nonsense. There cannot be life after birth. How is it that that's supposed to work? Well, I don't know exactly, but I believe there's more to us than just being here. I think there is life after birth, and it's got to be much bigger and much brighter out there than how it is in here. And perhaps we will actually be running someday with these legs we have, or even eating with these mouths we have. Eating with our mouths, running with our legs, nonsense. Running with our legs and eating with our mouths, that's crazy. That's what we have umbilical cords for, to feed us. You want to run around and eat all the time? It would never work. Look, these umbilical cords anyway are way too short. The other one responds, no, I think it's going to work somehow. It's going to be really different on the other side. You're crazy. Nobody has ever come back from life after birth. Life ends on the other side and that's it, period. No, I must admit that we do not know what life is like on the other side of birth, but I know that we will get to see our mother and that she will take good care of us. Mother, are you trying to tell me that you believe in a mother? Well, if mother exists, then where is she? Has anyone ever seen mother? Well, I believe mother is all around us. I think we are alive in her and through her, and she's all around us. That's how we exist. Rubbish! I've never seen mother, therefore mother does not exist. No, I think it's true. Sometimes when you're really quiet, you can hear her speak. I think I've even heard her sing, and sometimes you can almost, it almost feels like she's trying to touch us in here. Think of that for a moment. Can you imagine sticking a microphone there and saying, hey, what do you guys think is about ready to happen? Oh, we're just going to be here forever. It's great in here. 98.6, very tropical. Okay. Give me a coconut and a pineapple, and this is perfect. And then, you know, as life goes on, it starts to get a little cramped back in the back end. See, we have something going on here. You and I are both getting bigger, and this place is getting smaller at the same time. And then there's a lot of pushing, and things are kind of like, what is going on here? And after some noises and all, one of them begins to shout out, I see a light! I went, look, we're going through a tunnel. I see a light on the other end. And what would they say? Nope, on the other side, it's nothing. It's just that no one's come back from birth to ever get... I don't know, but I see a light. You'll see it in a minute because I'm ahead of you. You'll be behind me. I'm telling you what's going on. Here's going on. And the little guy comes out, and then you got to admit, it's a sinful world. The poor little guy comes out. Somebody shoves a rubber tube down his throat and sucking stuff out of his lungs and throat. He gets maybe a little smack in his rear end to get him breathing. And then somebody comes up with a needle and shoots him with this stuff, wraps him up in this hot blanket. All these lights and strangers. Welcome to the world. That kid was born. And Jesus says, you've got to be born from above. You came that way in this world. There's another way into the presence of God. And you better do it, Jesus is saying. Think of it. That's a dramatic change. There's a dramatic change when a person's born again. Listen, you will not be questioning if you're born again or not. If you have to question, then something's wrong. Years ago, we taught in the book of James, and forgive me if you remember this analogy, but it works. The book of James is all about you being a Christian and living the real Christian life, not the Hollywood version, not the American version, or any other kind of version, the Bible version. And James says this, and he's speaking to believers. They're already born again, or they've already claimed to believe and be born again anyway. And James says this, that, and I'm paraphrasing now, I'm illustrating the book of James. You can sum up the book of James with this little bit of a story. James says, here's the truth about who you are as a believer. Number one, assume now that the entire world cannot hear you speak when you do speak. And imagine the entire world just moved into your house for the next 30 days. They can't hear you talk. They can only watch your life. And at the end of 30 days, they are actually going to be the ones who tell you if you are a Christian or not. Because that, my friend, is true. I'm a Christian. Are you? Look, when somebody tells me I'm not a Christian, I relax. Why? Well, because I expect them to use all kinds of foul language. I expect them to be self-centered. I expect them to be sleeping around, doing drugs. He doesn't break my heart. I know where he's coming from. That's where non-believers come from. That's what they do. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem is when a Christian says they're a Christian and they do those things, and that's their life. James says, don't listen to what they say. Move in with them and watch them. Now, you say, oh, Pastor, I don't know if I like what you're saying. Well, let's flip it around. All of you guys know where I live. I live in a very public street. I don't have a gated community of my little houses in. You know where I live. In fact, I know you know where I live because I see some of you park in front of my house. You think I'm not home. I don't know what you're doing there, but it's okay. Some of you, Some of you forget you have Christian stickers on the back of your car. That's okay. But imagine if you heard me today, and then tomorrow you drive by my house and I'm running out in the yard, you know, killing cats and I got AC/DC at ear piercing levels. And what else? What else would offend you? You do come here. He said Bubbles would be in the front yard. Bubbles would be in. In fact, Bubbles brought her sister. She's in the front yard. I've got a big dispenser of Budweiser out there, and you know what I'm saying? You'd go, who is that? Did you see what I'm saying? You'd say, man, that guy needs to be born again. That's right. You can't say you're one thing and live differently. Which brings us to this. We have time left just for this. What does it mean to be born again? Thirdly, it's that you and I will live our new life for the things of God. That's how you know. Man, I tell you what, stay tuned for the end on this one. This is putting the litmus paper to the acid, to the water, to the solution, and you're reading it now. How do you know someone's born again? Because you know what? They're very, very concerned about the things of God. Jesus tells us, the Bible tells us, that we need the second birth, that there's no heaven for us. And you don't have to walk, please listen, you don't have to walk around this life hoping, wishing, wondering if you're going to go to heaven. You should know you're going. And that joy and that boldness should possess your life. Because you know what? One of the amazing things, and we'll hit on this more next week, is the fact that your heart, your born-again life, is so concerned about the things of God. The things of this world kind of make you sick. Listen. Don't raise your hand. But are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and you've been born again. If that's true, you will detest the things of this world. Let me make this clear. The moment you were born again, now I want to make this clear too. I can tell you within minutes when I got saved. My wife grew up in a Christian home. She cannot tell you that. But she knows that when she was young, Jesus Christ became the center of her life. Now you may, look, her and I are on opposite ends of the spectrum. Are you with me, everybody?
Yes.
So somewhere you fall into that self-experience with Christ. But the moment that you're born again, and again, we'll get into this in the next week, so don't miss this next few Sundays, is this, you are positioned with Christ. You need to know what that means. You're saved, man. You are, what are the words? Converted. You're reborn. You are born again. You are born from above. That's it. In that moment, you have you detest your old life, but you've noticed your old life keeps yelling at you. Do you know what I'm talking about? Every Christian in this place knows what it's like to be two people at the same time. What is that? The new life says, I love God. The old Jack says, let's go do this. Let's go beat people up. Well, fill in your, don't laugh at me. I'm not laughing at you. Fill in your own blank. So how long have you been a Christian? I've been a Christian 38 years, 37, 39, whatever. And what? Yeah, listen, I know what's the right thing to do. I know what I want to do. And I know what blesses the heart of God. But then there's a part of me that says, hey, look over there. And then what happens? Watch this. A person that is a religious person goes just like this, like the Bible says, like an ox to the slaughter. You see, it's not a Sunday now, it's a Monday. And then that person's life, their flesh says, hey, let's go look at that. And then let's go drink some of this. And let's go snort some of that. And let's go touch some of that. And that person, very religious on Sunday, that person goes like this. Okay. Oh, all right. And then feels really bad. and then makes their way back to church and does a church thing. I'm not talking about that person. I'm talking about the person who's born again, gets the same temptations, but they no longer have the power that they had. I, for example, it goes like this. I'm walking along. I get up in the morning like you do and say, man, I'm going to follow God today. Lord, fill me with your spirit. And I love you and I want to do whatever you want to do, God. And then there's this temptation. Could be a thought in my head. Boom. Oh. Now, right there. Listen, everybody. Are you listening?
Yes.
This is serious business. In that moment, I have only nanoseconds, milliseconds of time to determine what am I going to do with it. See, the non-Christian goes, cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah. The Christian goes, oh, no, Lord Jesus, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Any thought that comes into my mind, I have the power through Jesus Christ to bring that captive and take a captive and present it to the cross. And you know what I'm talking about? Instant war. The temptations never stop. You know what? You learn how to beat them. And that's why the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you anymore. Because this temptation comes up and you just go, sit down. Now, you never do this in public because people think you're nuts. You just, it happens in your head. Boom. Or some girl goes, you're so strong. You know what you hear? You know what a Christian hears? Run! Right? The knucklehead goes, can I hear that again? Right? You're dead. You're messed up. The battle will always be there. What do you do with the battle? The Christian has been granted the victory. And you move out into the victory. Now listen, we're almost done. And the ushers have been given tasers. Anybody leaving early, you're going down. Why? Because this is the critical moment. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to make sure that you've made a decision for Jesus Christ to be born again. Only pride would keep you from making that decision in a moment. You better be sure. Everyone Jesus called, he called publicly, including Nicodemus, who came at the end of Jesus' earthly life to the cross, and John and Nicodemus took Jesus' body down from the cross. Everyone Jesus called. You will have to go public someday with your faith. And we're going to give you the opportunity today to accept Jesus Christ and or to make a public declaration. Why? Jesus said, you must be born again. The things of God, Ephesians 2, verse 1. Look to the screens or look to your Bible. And by the way, forgive me in advance, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation for anybody here today who's just never heard of a Bible before. I'm going to make it as simple as possible, as clear as possible. Ephesians 2, 1. You once were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Did you know that? The Bible says before you become a Christian, you're dead. You're spiritually dead. You used to live in sin. I did. Just like the rest of the world. That's right. I hung out with the world. Obeying the devil. I didn't know I was doing that. I mean, that's kind of pushing it, isn't it? Not according to God. Because he's the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Well, listen. They refuse to obey God because they're busy obeying themselves. What is it that they're obeying about themselves? Their lustful passions. Are you all sitting down? Next week on Valentine's Day, the 50 Shades of Grey movie is coming out. This is destroying people. The books have destroyed people. The movie's going to destroy people. It's demonic. And there are Christians flirting with the book. There's no way the Holy Spirit would allow you to read that stuff. There's no way. You may say you're a Christian and get all excited about the book and figure out that your husband or your wife stinks and you need a new version. You may read the book or see the film and say, man, my love life stinks. My wife, she's all worn out, piece of overweight, nothing. I'm going to go get... It ain't good. The Christian has control over their eyes. The Holy Spirit speaks and says, look away from that or run from that. Well, there's no pictures. It's worse. It's literary pornography. And it's sweeping the world. And the result is messed up, psychologically whacked out people and broken homes. It's sin on steroids. And the world is flirting with it. Because you'd rather obey your passions instead of the will of God. And he goes on. Verse 3, Ephesians 2. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Galatians 5, verse 16. We're almost done. Galatians 5, 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires. Here you go. Do you have these desires, my friend? Listen. The Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Watch this. Sexual immorality. The word is porneia. From pornography, from reading that kind of stuff and looking at pictures, all the way through to committing sexual acts outside of marriage. That's the word for sexual immorality. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, pharmakeia, the word is hallucinogenic drugs or mind-altering drugs. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties or orgies, the word. Other sins like these. Listen to what Paul says. Let me tell you again, as I told you before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit, verse 22, produces this kind of fruit in our lives. This is the Spirit's work in the life of a believer. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these. Almost done. Stay seated. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Notice the difference. And in 1 Corinthians 6, can you say that this has happened to you? A change, a dramatic change? Do you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes. Now, I had to stop at that. Male, what? Isn't that weird? Male prostitutes. Well, first of all, Paul's speaking to the Greeks, and they had all that stuff going on, but the word is freaky, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it's in our culture right now. The word in Greek for this word that's translated in the English, male prostitutes, it's malakos in Greek, and it means this, catamite. It means a catamite. Do you know what a catamite is? You don't want to know. Did you see the movie Batman? When Heath Ledger had that white face painted on his face? It means to change. The word means, and that was, by the way, somebody knew what they were doing in Hollywood. A catamite will dress up their face to try to disguise what their gender is. That's what it means. That's why the old English, they put the word male prostitute. A male is trying to pawn himself off as a woman by finery is the word, the old English word, is by looking feminine, but he's a male. A catamite. Look, this is not a family parenting class, but I will tell you this. If you have a daughter, raise her like a daughter. And if you have a boy, raise him like a boy. Who does that? That's why you're a parent. You're supposed to train up a child in the way that they're supposed to go. But that's for some parenting class someday, right? Listen, hang on. Or practice homosexuality, or thieves, or greedy people, drunkards, abusive, cheats. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. And right there, if it stopped right there, there's no reason to live. Ah, but verse 11 says, some of you were once like that. I don't know about you, but I could pick out a few of these things that I used to be. You used to be like that, he says, but you were cleansed, but you were made holy, but you were made right with God by calling on the name, look, by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Somebody say amen to that. Listen, I'm going to ask you today, I'm going to give you opportunity today to publicly accept Christ, to make sure that you're born again. Listen carefully. You need to understand Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the grave for your sins, for my sins. He wants to change your life. You've been born into this world. He wants you now to be born from above. If today your heart has been stung by him, that's him reaching out to you. Don't shut him down. Don't refuse him. I put my heels in because that's what the word means. Don't push against him. Relax and make your stand for God. Don't assume you're born again. Be born again. Recognize that you can't save yourself, that he did it for you at his cross, that he rose again from the grave, and that power that raised Jesus from the grave is the power that will change your lifestyle forever and be washed like all the rest of us. We're not perfect. He is. Listen, we still sin, but we hate it now. We can't wait to see him. We don't live for ourselves anymore. We live for the things of God. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in prayer before you this morning. And God, I pray that no one would be distracted. Nobody would fall over somebody or ask some about to be a new believer to get disrupted or interrupted by someone. In this holy moment, God, Lord, we're obeying you and we've put out the cry, you must be born again. And my dear friend, I pray today, have you heard or felt or sensed the presence of God in your life? Maybe you've never stood for Jesus publicly and he's telling you today, you stand for me and you come publicly. Maybe today you found out you're just a very religious person, but you just kind of really don't know God until next Sunday rolls around again. You need to be born again. Maybe today you've come in here and your sins, nobody has to tell you about them. You're sick of them. You're disgusted with your life and you're done with it. And you're here today because you need a new life. Well, you are welcome. I'm going to ask the lights to be dimmed a little bit. I'm going to ask you today during the playing of this song right now, I'm going to ask you to come forward and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Just come to the steps and stand there. In a moment, I'll lead you in prayer. But if today you are publicly declaring Jesus your Lord to be publicly acknowledged as being born again, make sure you understand this. You are not becoming a member of this church. You're not doing this for anybody. This is between you and God. Jesus said you must be born again. So you come right now and you finally make that decision once and for all. Here I am. Room right now, you can come if you're in that overflow room, make your way here to take you about 3 minutes from the overflow room. And if you're sitting here today, I know the pressure, we've all gone through this. The pressure is, I'm sitting with somebody, I don't want them to think, I don't want them to think anything. You got to understand something. Everyone Jesus called, he called publicly. You better give up on thinking what people think because you'll never have any control over that, nor does it matter. You need to be concerned about what God thinks. And so if your heart is uneasy, you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like in the middle of you, and you know you should do this, but you're fighting both a part of yourself and God right now, and you know you should do this. I'm going to ask you to obey him and make your way up here quick. Time's running out. Imagine the ship is leaving the dock. You're either on or you're not. You obey him. And if you're in the other overflow rooms, you come right now. Quickly come. In a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but you need to understand something. Number one, it's not a magical prayer, okay? It's like, oh, what was that prayer? Forget about the prayer. I'm going to lead you in an appropriate prayer. What matters, do you mean it? That's what matters. Have you come forward today because this is serious business with you? This is what you want to do. And I believe you have. And so from this moment on, in praying this prayer, some of you might feel something right now. Most of you don't. I say most of you don't because I never felt anything when I accepted Christ, except that it is 11 o'clock. By noon today, in 1 hour, I promise you this, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you are going to have a pattern of thought enter your mind that you've never had before. You're going to have thoughts pop up in your head that you know they're not you. And they're going to be awesome. They're going to be thoughts that are somehow foreign and yet extremely familiar. You might think a certain thought, and the thought's going to counter it, and it's going to say, we don't think like that anymore. This is how we think now. And the thought and the string will come. It's absolutely the presence of the Holy Spirit taking possession of your life. Christianity is not something we do. It's what God does through us. Okay? So listen, when we pray this prayer, just mean it. Just mean it. If you're rededicating your lives or you're just making a public stand for Him, just mean it. Are you ready? Repeat this if you would after me. Dear Lord, I come to you now and I give you all that I am. I come in my shame. I come in my sorrow. I come in my fullness of who I am. Lord, make me your child. As I confess today, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, crucified, buried, and resurrected, I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, everybody, listen, before you go, can you guys start handing these Bibles out? Here's what we want to do, you guys. I want you to, it's very important because I want to grab hold of you before you head back. By the way, all the rest of you can stand right now. As you're getting these Bibles out, there's a little card in here, and I want you to fill that out. There's pens right there, but I want to say this. Fill out the cards, but let's you and I agree on this. I do not like people calling me. I don't like people bugging me. And so I promise you this. If you fill out this card, nobody will bother you. I promise you. There will be one phone call placed to you, and then not again. Only that phone call will be, how are you doing? But immediately today, these prayer cards will be taken away, and there will be a group of people that begin praying for you. You've come forward because you've got situations going on in your life. There's people that are going to pray for you. They may obviously never seen your face before, but they'll pray for you. I want those cards back before you go. We have timed this. It takes about 60 seconds to fill them out. And while you're filling them out, let me say this. Don't let anybody tell you how you ought to do Christianity. That's why you have this Bible. Don't let Billy Graham or Billy Barty or Pastor Jack tell you how to do Christianity. You let God's Word tell you. If He wasn't real, I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't have had you come forward. As you go to live your life today, God will take possession of you and your life will never be the same. And I want you to expect Him to lay hold of your life. Watch what happens. Some of you are maybe here right now today and you have addictions. Listen, Jesus can handle your addictions. Just be honest with Him. Tell Him. You got a drinking habit, or you got a drug habit, or maybe you have a sexual habit, or whatever it might be. Maybe it's a material thing where you got to have stuff. Tell Him about it. Let Him extract that out of your life. Watch Him. He's alive. He's real. And He's your Lord and Savior. So you guys, as we close in this song, I'm going to grab the new believer sheets from these guys. And welcome to the family of God, each and every one of you.